5, 4, 3, 2.
Here we are once again at the very sunny and lovely corner of Glenwood and Lund. We are in the heart of Rogers Park in Chicago on the far north side. We're broadcasting live from the stage at the Heartland Cafe. This is your host, Michael James, for this morning's edition of Live from the Heartland. So a big round of applause from everybody in the audience here today. We've got a good crowd, the coffee is hot, the coffee is organic and fair trade, and everything smells really good. We've got a big lineup of folks today. We're going to talk about some issues about communication and what we hear and see on the news. We're going to actually talk about some activists on the North Shore Power. And a little bit later, we're going to have Beverly Block from Theo Ubuque, who are putting on the Fantastics over at the No Exit. We're going to start off this morning with Scott Sanders and Mitchell Shapanchik of the Chicago Media Action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so my understanding is that Chicago Media Action, along with Third Coast Press, have been active in the legal arena challenging the Federal Communications Commission over licensing. Now that there's licenses are up, it turns out that all of the private commercial stations and even probably public TV are not meeting all of their community requirements. So Mitchell, why don't you start us off and give us a little insight into this issue?
Certainly. All of the over-the-air TV stations in Illinois have to be brought, in order to broadcast, they have to have an FCC license. And those licenses expire once every 8 years. It turns out the window for that expiration just ended this month, November 1st, in fact. With that was an opportunity which arose in which anyone can actually file a challenge before the FCC to challenge the license legitimacy of any of more of these stations. The action itself is referred to as a petition to deny, and two groups at issue. One, Chicago Media Action, filed a petition to deny with the FCC against 9 Chicago area TV stations. Basically, on the issue of electoral coverage, they dropped the ball on covering local politics pertaining to Chicago. And another one, filed by the group Third Coast Press, which was a far more far-ranging issue where all of the TV stations in Illinois challenged, some 18 stations within the broadcast footprint of the Chicago city limits. There, a number of issues were touched on, far more ranging than the Chicago Media Action Challenge, involving things like minority representation on television, issues important to women, the war, a number of issues which the media singly and collectively have dropped the ball on, and which they're basically a challenge, basically the grounds that if some station can't fulfill their obligations as required by the FCC to serve the public interest, then they should lose their license and should be handed off to someone else who you think might be able to do a better job. So that's what we're asking.
Now, normally, wouldn't it just be a slam dunk, so to speak, for these stations to renew their licenses?
Almost invariably, yes.
When's the last time one of the Chicago stations lost its license?
I don't think it's ever happened.
All right, so we're breaking new ground here.
That's true, and that's actually where the battering ram on this effort, where not only with regards to initiatives in Chicago, but also with initiatives nationwide. We've actually been contacted by a number of groups and other initiatives across the United States that may be mimicking what we're doing here.
Now, how long is the process, the challenge process, going to take? I mean, at what point, I'm assuming, I'm an optimistic kind of guy, and I would like to think that you're going to be able to knock off the licenses of all CBS, NBC, ABC, AGN,
yes,
etc.
Yes.
However, that may not happen, but what is the window of opportunity here now that the 8 years license, they all come up at the same time?
Yeah.
That's
in Illinois they do.
I don't think they would want to change that at some point.
People are saying we should have them more frequently. Why not? People are saying, you do this every year.
Every week.
More or less a plate of locusts that comes only every eight years. Of an insect issue.
But Scott, why don't you tell us how the process works? I mean, how long do we have?
Yeah, there is some time. We have some time to play here. We have at least until the 20th of December, as far as I understand, and I believe that's being extended because Paxson Communications, which was started by Mr. Paxson, who was the home shopping king. He wants more time to respond. I think he's very busy right now, and they need more time. So that's, I think, fine with us. We'll extend that courtesy to them because we get more time to harass them on the air and elsewhere because of that.
Do you have lawyers in on this?
For one of the law, one of the actions, yes.
Or is it just a bunch of radical type dudes and dudettes trying to make a difference in the world?
The Chicago Media Action petition is actually drawn up and represented by a law firm actually out of Washington, D.C., a public telecommunications law firm called the Media Access Project. People can check them out online at mediaaccess.org. With the Third Coast Press petition, it's not. Basically, it's a homegrown effort, and you can actually, when you look at the petition, you can check that out at thirdcoastpress.com. You can see that the petition is signed by themselves. There's no legal representation.
I would add that the Media Access Project is probably the best known public interest telecommunications law firm in the country. Their roots actually go back to the WLBT case in Jackson, Mississippi, which is one of the rare examples of a station that did lose its license. That's a whole different story right there.
Well, we won't go into it then. We'll do it another time. You know, I watch the news a lot. I flip around. I got the little clicker these days, you know, and I'll watch the establishment news. I'll watch the more establishment news on CNN headline news until there's a certain woman comes on. I can't stand headline news anymore. I'll even flip through the Chuck Fox channels, MSNBC. You know, I listen to my share of public radio. I listen to WLUW. I listen to WNUR. I listen to Democracy Now! You know, I just try to glean some information. And, you know, very often I'm about to, like, jump out of my skin over the way things are reported. And when you do read the news, and when you do even watch BBC News, which is establishment news from another imperialist country, but it seems to be a little bit better, I'm amazed at what gets left out. I'm amazed at how these big conglomerate network types fail to share with the American people what is going on in the world. So you guys ended up, I'm assuming you do all this too, and you've developed kind of a watchdog group that oversees what goes on in the media, and you've developed these petitions that they grew out of studies by Chicago Media Action and the Third Coast Press. So tell us what you've learned and what your opinion is of what the large media outlets are.
I can talk about the CMA thing if Scott's going to take the Third Coast Press thing. The Chicago Media Action petition filed before the FCC uses as its linchpin a study that was actually convened by a think tank, more or less, out of Washington, D.C., called the Center for Media and Public Affairs, in which they look at, they examine coverage in the month before the election of 2004. Of TV stations, commercial TV stations in Chicago, as far as their coverage of local electoral politics and public affairs, and see, do they actually cover issues pertaining to non-federal elections? And these studies show, in fact, you can actually go to chicagomediaaction.org, download the petition, and it's included as a 51-page supplement to the main petition itself. It turns out that they have singly and collectively dropped the ball on the issue. And that's a pretty serious violation of the public interest obligations of these license holders. They are required to cover things like this, and they didn't. And so we're calling them on this, and we started this action, which is probably, it may not be before an entire year before this actually gets panned out, before the FCC delivers a final ruling as this goes. But that's the issue there. Scott, do you want to talk about Third Coast Press's petition?
Sure. We cited in several studies also in the Third Coast Press petition. One had to do with Chicago Tonight's coverage, Channel 11's news show. So there's a lot to talk about there. Also, we cited a study by Benton Foundation and Media Access Project. There's a study by a couple of Medill professors that goes to poor representation of African Americans and Latinos. It's really hard to know even where to begin with a question like that because the situation is so completely messed up. I think one of the things that we pointed out in the Third Coast Press petition was that we hope that our actions cause the FCC to completely completely rethink the whole way that media is regulated. Rather, not regulated.
What do you think your the chances are of having a positive result from this? And I certainly not taking sides, but from your point of view, a positive result would mean that some of these stations would either lose their license or there would be reform in the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. Or you get some of these stations to change. Maybe you can get rid of these stations and we'll have some new ones. But what do you think your chances are here?
The chances depends on exactly.
So what are you trying to get?
Depends on what your goal is. I mean, if your goal is to try to, at the very least, get a hearing of the FCC, and perhaps shoot beyond that to actually get the one of these license incumbent license holders to have their license revoked and awarded to someone else you think might do a better job. If history is any guide, chances aren't terribly great. The number of times this has actually happened are so small you can probably count them on one hand. But that doesn't mean that the fight shouldn't continue. And also, the way the petition itself is crafted, basically, this action is kind of the battering ram, as far as the FCC is concerned, to set a precedent for not only setting an example that others can emulate, but also within the FCC itself to make them jump through hoops so that, maybe they should do their job and actually, service the media. But with regards to other issues like making an issue before other people and bringing it to wider and wider audiences,
it's a success.
That's been fantastically successful.
This is the hearing right now.
Yeah, it's like getting it. I've been doing like 4 radio interviews over the last.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I know that Carol Marine did an article on this. So why don't you tell us what has been the response in Chicago once you took your move, once you challenged the FCC over the licenses that are coming up for renewal?
Scott, you want to start that?
Sure. The response varies. So far, our answering machine does not record any messages from any local television broadcast stations for us inviting us to come on their news shows and discuss this important issue.
Well, maybe after you've been on WLUW here in Life at the Heartland, the phone will ring off the hook.
All right, we'll let you know.
We'll find out tonight.
However, we are getting other responses. Now, when you get one of the daily papers to address your issue twice, first we have Robert Feeder and then Carol Marine, that's a very good sign. And what that's another sign of is that the other paper in town, that, what's it?
I think it starts with a T.
CT something. And they have not covered this issue. In fact, we had to do an action to try to get them off their butts to address reality here, the fact that the Tribune owns WGN, which is one of the targets of both of these petitions. And, if they don't deal with this issue, then that proves our point. So they can either prove our point or discuss reality.
Do you want everyone to read the Chicago Tribune every day and hopefully they don't find a story in there?
Or you can go to ChicagoMediaAction.org and actually see the extensive list of all the coverage that this issue has been getting.
One of the criticisms that Chicago Media Action and Third Coast Press had of the of a lot of the license holders and the main media giants here in Chicago is their coverage of local electoral politics. And what are your criticisms of that? Do we not, we do get the numbers, we get, we hear about some certain candidates, not maybe some minor or what they consider to be minor candidates. What are your criticisms of the way local elections are covered? And after you tell us your criticisms, how might we hope to see coverage of elections in the future?
You could probably break down the critique into two parts. One qualitative that, and one quantitative. The quantitative one, the numbers aren't there. I mean, as far as reports of local politics, and this is borne out by the study, they're just not talking about it. That alone is a grave failure. And in the rare instances when they are, it's they're examining horse race issues, they're not examining substantive issues of serious concern before citizens, voting Chicagoans. It's just a great failure, both as far as the numbers are concerned and as far as what they're talking about. And so they're called on both of these issues within the petition. And as a result, we filed this challenge and
We'll see what happens thereafter.
I mean, it's pretty pathetic when the only local story that they deem worthwhile would be one more story about Barack Obama. That's wonderful that we had Barack Obama running, but what about the other 150 or 1,000 local races, the state senate in Illinois, a state representative in Illinois, and other local
bigger issues? Bigger features on Durbin taking stands.
Well, yeah, right. So it's like, so you're getting a little bit of local. Not zero, but a little teeny bit, yeah.
What kind of response are you getting from people around the moves that you've made with these petitions? What kind of support is Media Access Project getting? Chicago Media Access.
Chicago Media Action. Well, depends on where you're looking. Within the media activist movement itself across the United States, tremendous support, tremendous awareness. We've become almost minor celebrities on this count. Within the business community of, say, take for example, broadcasting and cable. This is a publication which is basically examines the business of TV and cable television. To their credit, they've been mentioning this, as have a number of other business-oriented publications, Crane Chicago Business. It's important to them because this could be of impact to investors and owners, whether or not it would be a sound investment to get involved in investing your money in a TV station. So this is of interest to them, and they've been covering this. In fact, an op-ed of mine has actually gotten published in Broadcasting and Cable to the credit of that publication. Within the mainstream press, we've gotten coverage in the Sun Times, coverage in the Reader, coverage on NPR, on the media, that actually mentioned this. Counterspin, the radio show produced by Fair, has also mentioned this. It's still early in the game, and it's only been about almost 3 weeks now since the action filed. But still, nonetheless, it's been positive, and hopefully will continue. And our job is to probably, where there have been successes in media activist efforts, it's been to make it an issue and to bring it before wider and wider audiences. And so we've been succeeding on this so far.
Well, I want to thank both Scott Sanders and Mitchell Stupancic for coming on, but I do have one more question. I've seen you a couple of times in the last year, Mitchell.
Okay.
And one of the times you were leaving for South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And you were heading out to South Dakota to challenge a radio station out there, as I recall, or some media project. Just tell me what that was and what happened.
This was May 2004. Four of us got into a car which left from here at the Heartland Cafe. We drove almost 950 miles to Rapid City, South Dakota for the only FCC localism hearing about the Midwest. And they held it on the west coast of South Dakota. We were in a different time zone. And we drove almost 15 hours to take part in that hearing. And it was the only hearing on localism, part of a series of hearings that were convened, mainly over the issue because the FCC basically got singed over the controversy regarding their media ownership rules in 2003, which got slammed by a wide popular uprising and by a successful emergency court order and lawsuit brought by the same law firm that actually is filing our action. The Media Access Project. So that's what I did, and that's what I was a part of.
Well, you guys are doing some great work, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people helping you, and I'm sure we're going to have you both back on Live from the Heart. And of course, if you have anything you'd like to add about this that you want people to know.
Our website address is www.chicagomediaaction.org. Please visit us.
You can also call us toll-free. We have a phone number, voicemail, 1-866-260-7198. One more time, 866-260-7198. We'll pay for the call.
Okay, big round of applause for Scott Sanders and Mitchell Stupancic, Chicago Media Action. And we'll be back with more Live from the Heartland in just a few moments. We're going to take a little musical break. And then we're going to bring up Michelle Love and the Reverend Marilyn Kagan Banks, and they're of Northside Power, and we're going to hear what they have. We'll be right back. Don't go too far. Live from the Heartland.